children well, 'cause their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
Welcome back to The Cabin. This is the Up North Podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with Kirk Bangstad and Sarah Yacoub. Senator Chris Larson is still with us. And Kirk, I'm going to let you keep picking the music because you didn't even get the well-worn 45 version. You found something fresh there. Good on you, man.
Actually, before we go, okay, it's going to be 5 seconds, but yes, this was an older version where these guys got together on a reunion, and it sounded so sweet and pretty. It was even better than the old one. So yes, you're right.
There you go. Sarah?
Yes, love the music. In this segment, we'd like to welcome the president of the WEAC, the Wisconsin Education Association Council, our statewide teachers union, Peggy Wirtz Olson, who will help us dig deeper into bills introduced this week by Senator Chris Larson, Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire, and Assembly Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire to address the massive staffing shortages in Wisconsin's K-12 schools. Welcome, Peggy.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here.
All right, Peggy. So I'm sure it's no secret to anybody living in Wisconsin, especially parents, that we're going through a huge, massive statewide teacher shortage. And before we have Senator Larson kind of talk about all these proposals to address this, I wanted to kind of have you set the stage for, you know, why are we having a teacher shortage now? What has led up to this over the past decade? And maybe give us some statistics of actual, you know, teachers leaving the profession in Wisconsin.
You bet. Well, we know that 10 years ago, the state destroyed the teacher compensation system in Wisconsin. And since then, educator salaries have plummeted, insurance co-pays have skyrocketed, as have deductibles. So that pay gap has continued to widen. All of that has contributed to the teacher shortage. We also know that the absences that we've seen, the substitute teacher shortage, has only exacerbated the situation throughout the pandemic, which really has led to most recent numbers from the National Education Association survey. They conducted a poll back in January, and 55% of educators in the profession are thinking about leaving teaching. That's a staggering number for me.
It is, and this is a generational, and frankly, from the standpoint of public schools, not just a generational, it may be an existential issue, and that's just the way that certain people want it to be. Senator Larson, you're still with us as well, and I know we're going to get to the bills in a second, but I thought I'd turn to you on this question as well, because you talk to your constituents, you talk to teachers. What kinds of things are you hearing in your district about the teachers there, their satisfaction, their you know, feeling unappreciated or want to leave, or maybe we're all wrong. Maybe everybody in your district's very happy.
I mean, I like to think the folks in my district are pretty happy, but on this, no, they're very, there's a lot of discontent, right? And it's not just teachers. It is parents. It is those who have a teacher in their family, which if you think about it, right, is probably just about everybody in the state, right? If you have a teacher in your life, and you haven't asked them, ask them how things are going in the teaching profession these days. But be prepared to get a good, brutal, honest answer. And that is that right now there is just a lot of frustration. And the teachers feel frustrated, not just because the legislature is not giving them the raises that they deserve. They are not treating them with the respect that they deserve, that funds are being held up at the state level, despite the surplus we talked about earlier in the broadcast. But the real frustration comes from they're doing this to help kids, right? Most teachers, if not all teachers, they go into the profession because they love kids and they want to make a difference and see that impact in their lives. And we held a town hall just a couple of weeks ago with educators from across the state. And one of the folks who was on there was an older woman, and she, you could hear her voice crack as she said, "They know they've got us. They know they've got us because we care so much for these kids that we're going to continue to do it despite them growing class sizes, despite them underpaying us, despite them working us over breaks that we're supposed to have, and despite us not having the say in our safe workplace. They know they've got us because we care so much. This should not be a sacrifice we ask of teachers. It should be us rewarding them so then they can reward our kids with their attention and their devotion."
And for all of that work, the average starting salary for teachers in Wisconsin is around $36,000. Now, two of these provisions that I want to ask about are probably, Peggy, not the things that you necessarily would lead with, but I think they're very symbolic. Chris is one of those people here that we know his salary. It's $50,000 a year for a state legislator. I know that because it hasn't changed. It was $50,000 when I was in the legislature 15, 16 years ago. But there are two of these bills establish first that public school teachers be paid as much as state legislators, which would be a nice little pay bump for some of them, especially since they work harder than most of the legislators, that's a whole nother topic. And then another provision establishes that public school district employees receive the same health benefits as state legislators. And so, Peggy, talk about the pay and the benefits, and it certainly proves a point, but it's not that we're here just to, take a swipe at the legislators, but it's more to speaking about what kinds of conditions your members are dealing with.
You bet. Well, really moving that pay threshold to $50,000 for starting teachers would be a tremendous pay increase, where we've got educators in various districts who are starting in the high 20s and low 30s. Those folks are coming out of a university program, likely where they've got student loan debt to pay for, right? So they're starting into a profession where they're not making a windfall, so to speak. They're also starting in a profession where many places have destroyed any sort of salary schedule or compensation model, right? So you might start in a profession and make a low wage and think, all right, well, as I work through this profession, it's, I will continue to see raises. That is a myth in a lot of districts across the state. So with this proposal, a teacher with a master's degree and 20 years experience would earn $100,000. And then there's multipliers and additives built into the system to ensure educators are not paid less than they currently earn. So again, it's kind of a haves and have-nots situation across Wisconsin. We have districts that maintained a salary schedule and districts that didn't. So depending on where you start, that can dramatically impact what your salary could look like in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years.
I'm really interested in a couple of bills, Chris or Peggy, whichever one to weigh in. The amount of time that we expect from teachers outside of the classroom that's not compensated for, it's just astounding. So this first bill requires each school board to ensure that a teacher's daily schedule includes paid preparation time of at least 45 minutes or one class period, whichever is greater. And the second bill says that educator duties outside of the classroom instruction are voluntary and compensated. So, with this idea, our teachers are professionals, they're not babysitters. And if schools would like them to do more than teach, the state should pay for it. This doesn't sound controversial or wild, but why isn't this already the case?
Well, you raise a great point, Sarah. So I'm so pleased, right, to work with legislators who took the time to do a town hall with us a few weeks back and have been listening to educators, not just this year, but in years past. They understand the circumstances. It doesn't seem ludicrous to be asking for this, but 45 minutes of educator-controlled prep time feels like a windfall when you're in the classroom, especially now during the pandemic, where you might might have had a little break in your day, but you have no subs in the building. And so that little break in the day is you covering a FIAD class or, you know, another high school English class down the hallway for you. So, you know, in terms of what that could mean in real space for preparing for students and making sure that you have moments to even grade the last set of tests that came in is huge. As is that increasingly important pay for outside duties, right? So now we have no lunchroom supervisor, or you know, kids on the playground are out there unsupervised. So in the 10 minutes that you had to run to the restroom, you're out there on the playground, or you're covering in the lunchroom. Really, to ensure that educators are paid during those times means something. Quite honestly, a break in the day seems to many people who don't work in the field of education as not a big deal. And to me and my colleagues, you know, 5 minutes sometimes in the middle of the day can seem like enough time to eat your lunch.
Okay, Peggy. So I wanted to get to this the fifth provision here, which is having a teacher be a representative on a school board. And this, to me, I'm glad I get to ask this question because you know, the Super PAC, you know, did our best to fight against these crazy folks that were coming to school board meetings and demanding to unmask the kids when the CDC said we needed to put masks on them. And then now they're demanding to not teach critical race theory, you know. And so we have these, a lot of school boards around the state who've got zero experience in education or teaching, who are making demands on school districts. So it seems absolutely wise to make sure that you have a teacher on a school board. And I want to get your response on that, but then also I wanted to have Senator Larson talk about what that means from a representation standpoint, given the fact that he's representing constituents.
You bet. Well, I'll jump in and then I'll hand it over to Senator Larson. Well, right. So educators are the ones in the classroom every single day. And you started this segment by really talking about doing what's best for kids. And so in that decision making space, having that representation would be huge, right? To be in on the board or at that board meeting. In most districts, I know a lot of educators who go to those school board meetings, and sometimes when you're the only educator at the meeting, they'll stop and address you or ask you about some things. To really encourage that or legislate that, I think would be a huge deal to have that voice in the room as decisions are happening. Senator Larson?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. That's exactly why we did it. And the number of folks who come before, even today, we had the Senate Education Committee, and it seemed like every other person who was coming up to speak felt it necessary to say that they were speaking for a whole set of other people that were not there. And I think if on school boards, this is happening all the time. So actually being able to look over and hear from somebody who is in the classroom working with kids day in, day out, and can tell you what's actually happening, not in a philosophical way, but to say, here's what this really looks like and what the impacts of these policies are, what the impacts of budget cuts will mean. I think everyone would benefit from that, which is why we wrote this and why it's one of them that I think I'm excited about all of them, but it is about making sure that professional teachers have a say in what's happening with our kids.
Hey, Chris, I just want to clarify on the bill, because I don't think this came up in the setup to this. This is educator representation on school boards in a non-voting capacity, because I can hear people saying, wait, that's why we have school board elections. We're basically just making sure that there's a voice at the table. It's not that they're taking somebody else's elected seat, right?
Correct. Yes. And if folks are very interested, they can check out. We have links on my Facebook page. You can dive into some of this legislation a little bit deeper. But yeah, it has a provision for how these elections would go and how a person would be seated, the length of terms, et cetera. But you're correct. They would not have a voting capacity, you know, at this time.
So, Peggy, what can you tell us about the effect on the psyche of teachers for this sort of vitriolic, politicized hatred? And so parents we love our kids' teachers on the one hand, and they're in our community. And on the other, there's a huge political push or culture, if you will, and just listen to Trump's kids for 5 minutes and you're, you know, you think teachers are evil. How is that affecting teachers going through this?
I'm glad you asked this question, right? Because it feels to us that teachers got stuck in the middle, right? Between a rock and a hard place with the pandemic, with the mask mandates, with, you know, all kinds of things. And I think it's easy for some folks to want to put them there and to make teachers somehow the enemy when my colleagues and I are definitely not that. You know, we're celebrated members in most communities, and it can be, it can feel isolating. It can feel very demoralizing to be in that space. At the end of the day, most parents really support teachers, and we know that it's a loud, vocal minority. But when that comes right at you, you know, it's a tough day.
It is, and we should you know, make the point that you know, these are neighbors. These are members of the community. I know in editorial meetings over at Up North News, we've talked about you know, maybe one of the things we should be doing this year is, rather than just covering, you know, the screaming fits at school board meetings, is, you know, more profiles of teachers, of staff, of the other educators there, who are simply trying to do their best, even as they're being accused of all kinds of terrible things by people who are, you know, stuck in right-wing echo chambers. So changing that perception, and also just these other things that would help. Again, it's about recruiting and retaining teachers. And if they can see that there's a state that's actually putting some of these rules into place, that would give us the next generation of educators that we need so badly. So Peggy Wirtz Olson, Senator Chris Larson, we appreciate your time so much. Thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for covering this. We appreciate it.
We will be back to wrap up the show in just a moment. Can't know the business.